there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
And stories really is what I want to talk to you about this morning. We're starting a new series called Generations. It's so not working. I want to tell you a little bit about my family, if that's okay. But before we get there, here's why we're doing this series here at One Church. Because we firmly believe that the church should be and is a place where generation after generation after generation can come together with one thing in common. It's probably the only place in the world where, like, multiple generations can gather and there will be one thing that we all agree on, and that is Jesus. It doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter where you're from, what you've done, where you're going. Hopefully, one thing that we all have in common is Jesus. Give me a nod if you agree. Yeah? And here's what the Bible says about how generations should work together. In Psalm 145, I did have my Bible, but it's on my phone. It says this, Psalm 145, verse 3 to 7, it's going to come up behind me. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise, isn't he? Yeah. Good. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another and tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on the wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. I promise you it says that in the Bible, even though it's not on the screen behind me. Here's the thing that we're going to focus on over the next few weeks. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. And what that's talking about is how the great stories of what God has done should be shared from generation to generation to generation. Yeah? Makes sense to everyone? Okay. Here's the story of my family that I want to talk to you about. In my lifetime, there have been five generations all alive at the same time. That's quite impressive, right? Especially in today's world. So on my mum's side of the family, we had my big nan, who to most people you would call great nan, but in our family, they're big nan. And I'd love to tell you that she was a small lady, but she wasn't. My big nan had a beard better than mine. Her name was Betsy, and every time that we got together as a family, which when I was a kid was like every week we'd go around for Sunday dinner, Big Nan would be sat on the sofa, and as we walked in the door, she would put her arms out and say, "Come here!" And you're like, "I know what's coming." And you'd walk over, and like your dad, who had a big beard, would give you a kiss on the cheek, she would pull you right in, rub her beard across your face, not because she was trying to do that, but because that's the way she was, and she'd go, and you know those really big slobbery kisses that only a nan can do? A big nan can do it even better. Now, when you're 13, that's not funny. You walk away with a rash on your face from a beard and loads of slobber, and like you're rubbing it off going. Arr. So we have my big nan, Betsy, and her husband, Ken. They were alive up until I was a teenager. Next generation down, you had my nan and my granddad, Val and Mal. Mal was a great Elvis fan. He looked like Elvis. He had hair like Elvis. Probably still does, even too dark. My nan's still alive. My nan's still alive, and even at Christmas, she's the one that wants all the family around. Next generation down, you've got my mum and my dad. My mum's got two sisters and a brother, so you can imagine that our family is quite big. When we get together at Christmas, there were 15 of us around the table, and there were four generations, because next down, you've got myself. Obviously, me and Emily are married. You've got my sister, my cousins. We all got together, and now we've got the next generation of Perrin slash Isaac slash Miles that are joining that table as Harry sat at the Christmas table, and we've got more little ones joining. That's really cool, right? Yeah. There are loads of generations in our family, but who knows that when it comes to families, the best place where you hear all the stories are around that dinner table. So, like I said, we've got stories about my big nan giving us those slobbery kisses, and maybe you can think of that person in your family. And if you can't think of them, maybe you're that person in your family now, dragging the kids in, giving them those big, bearded, slobbery kisses. We hear stories constantly of, like, One that comes up regularly is the story where my mum was once sat on the toilet and my auntie punched her off the toilet so she could climb out the bathroom windows, go to a party, that my mum, the goody two-shoes of the family, was like, "You're not going, mum and dad will tie you off." And she went, "I am." Bosh. Punched my mum off the toilet, down the drainpipe she went, and off to the party. That's ridiculous, right? On the other side of the family, so my dad's side, my dad's only got one brother, but apparently they made up for that, just being two of them. Stories like throwing a brick at each other's head. My dad still has the scar where my uncle threw that brick. Those of you that are teenagers, don't get any ideas. Don't do that to your siblings. They lived in the Forest of Dean. There's a story where they literally built an underground house, and the council found out about it and came to destroy it, but it was so well built that they rolled a digger over the top of it and it didn't even collapse. That's ridiculous. I wish that my building skills were that good. They had like a full-on chimney and everything so that they wouldn't smoke themselves out in there. That's impressive, right? There's a legacy story of my granddad where he once set the kitchen on fire with a chip pan. My granddad's so clever, he put the fire out and then did exactly the same thing straight after when he wanted to finish his chips. The story that almost every time we get together as Isaacs comes up is when my nan and granddad moved house whilst my dad and my uncle were away on a school trip. They came back to the house and were like, "Oh, where are they?" So bearing in mind they live in the Forest of Dean, and the person that was there said, "Oh, apparently they've moved to Gloucester." They didn't even tell them the street, just the city. Like, those stories are the stories that go down generation to generation in our family. And it's great when we get together and start talking about these stories, because one day Harry's going to know those stories and start telling his kids as well. And the legacy of Betsy and Ken, the legacy of Val and Mal, of Joe and Adi, one day of Kai and Emily and our stories, those legacy stories are going to go down. And I would imagine that in your family, you probably have similar stories. Give me a nod if you do. Shake your head if you don't. Some of you are laughing, which means you've got worse stories than the ones I've just told. But who knows that it's not just in our families that we have that. We also have that in the church, right? Yeah. So in this room, I think we've probably got people from five generations. Now, I'm not going to ask you to tell us your age, but here's a list of generations that are in the world at the moment. The generation called the traditionalist. So if you were born between 1927 to 1946, could you give me a wave? Mary and Margaret. Wow. So you guys apparently were traditionalists. Would one of you come and join me on the stage for a minute? I don't mind either. You're both shaking your heads. You don't have to talk. You don't have to talk into the mic. You don't have to do anything. Literally just sit on a seat. Margaret, would you do it? Come on, Margaret. Just sit on the end. Yeah, give her a round of applause. Whichever seat you like. So you're representing the traditionalist generation. These guys are heroes. Yeah. And we need to make sure that we honor everybody, okay? But especially you guys. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for the stories that you've got to tell. And this is where we're going to get to in a while. So we'll move on to the next one. The next generation, apparently, are the baby boomers. Born 1947 to 1964. Give me a wave if you're a baby boomer. Hello. Any of you brave enough to come and join Margaret on the stage? Just take a seat. Come on, Andy. Come on up. Next generation down, Generation X. 1965 to 1980. Give me a wave. A few of you. Who wants to come and join these guys up on stage? Go on, Julie. You've still got your hand up. You're the only one. Everyone put their hand down. Generation X, we'll keep going. Next down, millennials. Woo! Yeah. If you were born between 1981 to 2000, give me a wave. Yeah. The greatest generation of all. Who's brave enough to come and join these guys on stage? One of you. Go on, Tara, you gave me a big wave. Come and join us. Next up, Generation Z, born between 2001 to 2020. I think there's two of you in the room. Josiah and Hans, which of you want to come and join us? Either of you? Come on, Josiah. Yeah, give Josiah a clap. And then the next generation, Generation Alpha, we've got three of them in the room. We won't get them to come up onto stage. No, 20, we've got three. Three. Harry, no way, it's Harry. Okay. So we got two Generation Alphas in the room, which is really cool. Of you guys on stage, here's some differences within generations, hopefully. Who remembers the iPhone? Who knows about the iPhone? If you know about an iPhone. iPhone, iPad, Apple. Everybody know about the iPhone, yeah? Who remembers the days with only, without like Sky Sports, BT Sport? Kind of, Tara. Do you remember those days? No? The days like with only like four channels. Still? Without color TV? Black and white? No? Who remembers the days where the only way to communicate with somebody was like on the house phone? Oh, okay. A house phone with only four numbers. Was there only four numbers? People are nodding. There were only four numbers. Margaret, you remember that? See, I remember when people would answer like Gloucester 415967. That's actually a friend's phone number. I probably shouldn't have said that. I remember that, but I don't remember just four numbers. So down to you guys, what would the difference be? I actually don't know. Telegram? Do you remember a telegram? Andy, do you remember telegrams? Wow. Okay, here's the biggest difference from like today's generation to the oldest generation that we have in the room. Like literally, if you were born today, you'll have access to some kind of screen. We were the parents that said, when we have our kids, we're not gonna give them a screen until they're like three or four. Ha. 5:30 in the morning, Harry's screaming at us and we're like, watch CBeebies, we're going back to sleep for half an hour. Genuinely, it's that bad. We were driving down the road, or we were trying to get ready this morning. We were like, right, Harry just needs time without a screen, just needs to calm down. Like, he was just screaming at us, and we were like, we're desperate to get ready. Harry, here's our phone. It's not even here's a TV to watch. Here's our phone. Watch it on that now, right? The generations that are represented in this room are crazy. But imagine the stories that vary across these generations. There are going to be some great stories, right? And we as a church have to become amazing at sharing our stories of good news, of the mighty acts. Because the Bible tells us that one generation to the next will talk about the mighty acts of God. And so what we're going to start doing through this series, it's not your pedal, it's just the stand, is we're going to begin sharing our stories a bit better. Why are we doing it? Because it's really important that we share the stories of the good acts that God has done. Give these guys a round of applause because you're going to get uncomfortable. Go back to your seats. Thank you so much. And what I want to do this morning is I want to look at what the generations look like in a biblical family right at the beginning, if that's okay with you. And some of these people, some of these stories, you might go, oh yeah, I've heard of that and I know it, but you might not necessarily know the links. But as we go through it, I want you to think about what kind of encouragement these guys would have got from each other as they began to talk about the good works that God has done in their lives. Is that okay? So we're going to get a bit of a family tree come up behind me. Four generations of the same family. And all of these people, the stories are found in Genesis. So Abraham, everybody knows, has heard of Abraham. His son was called Isaac. Everybody know about Isaac? Yeah. Isaac had a son called Jacob and Esau, who we'll find out about a little bit in a minute. And then Jacob had lots of kids. Joseph is one of them. He had 12 sons. Imagine the mess that 12 sons would have caused. If my dad and his brother could cause so much havoc, crikey me. So we're going to look at these a little bit because I think it's really important that we understand the legacy of this family and what would have happened when they got together around a table. in your imagination, because we don't know how much that's going to work, okay? So first of all, Abraham. Many of us will know the story of Abraham, but if you don't, here's just one story in his life that would have passed down from generation to generation to encourage of the good works that God did in their life. In Genesis 15, there's a story where God comes to Abraham, who was at that time known as Abram, and he says, Abram, I want you to know you're going to be the father of many nations. And Abraham looked at God, spoke to God and said, don't be stupid, I haven't even got a son. Currently, my heir is going to be my servant. And God said, no, you're not hearing me. I'm going to make you the father of many nations, which first means I'm going to make you a father. And then the outwork of that comes in Genesis 21, when we find out that Abraham and Sarah, his wife, are able to have a son. That son becomes Isaac. God did this amazing miracle in their lives. And imagine the story when they gather around as a table to his grandkids one day going, do you know the story of how your dad was conceived? Unfortunately, there are stories like that that happen in our family too often as well. It wasn't just me and your mum. No, God was involved. That's a pretty miraculous story. That's pretty good, right? That's a pretty good legacy to have. The next generation down, when we think of Isaac and the story that he had, probably the worst day of his life, but the best day of his life too, is the day that his dad said to him, come on, son, we're going for a hike. Bring the wood, bring the axe, we're going to go set a sacrifice. Climb the mountain. That's hard enough without wood and an axe. And then they get to the top and Isaac looks around and goes, hey, dad, where's the sacrifice? And he goes, it's all right, God's going to provide. Right up to the point when Isaac took the knife out and gave it to his dad as his dad was about to kill him as a sacrifice. In Genesis 22, it says this, as he took the knife, God said, Abraham, stop. Imagine what Isaac would have been thinking in that moment. And the story when he got back down and his mum went, so how was your day? You're never going to believe what happened. But God provided, and in the bushes next to him was a ram ready for sacrifice. Imagine the story when he then began to tell his kids of the mighty work that God did. I've got to tell you about the time your granddad took me up a mountain. He was going to kill me, but God provided. Thank you, Jesus, for that provision, right? And then the next generation down comes along Jacob, and Jacob had a brother called Esau. In Hebrew history, Esau should have got the blessing, but Jacob was so desperate for it that he deceived his dad, whose eyesight had become so bad, the best way to trick him was to put a sheep's rug on his back as his dad rubbed his hands through his back. It's like my sister trying to get the blessing that should be mine. The only way to disguise your dad is to put a hairy back on. But there are stories of the time where Jacob had that, when he wrestled with God. The times where God really delivered him from evil. The time where he had son after son after son, and those sons are named after places of the things that God did in his life. Imagine the legacy of the stories around that table as Jacob begins to talk of all the things that God's done. And then come the 12 sons, and probably the best known story of all those sons together is the time where they beat up the youngest brother. They threw him into a pit and then sold him off as a slave. Imagine the stories around that table. Do you remember that time? Thankfully, the story goes on where they actually make up and they become a bit closer again. But imagine sitting around the table at that time and Joseph going, hey, Judah, do you remember that time when you beat me up? Do you remember that time you threw me in a pit and sold me off to the slaves? Can't imagine that would be too fun, would it? But there's stories of the miraculous works of God, because Joseph becomes such a high-placed figure within Egypt that when there's a famine and the brothers need the help, Joseph's able to be that person to them. Hey, imagine the stories that would happen across generation and generation and generation. As one generation talks of the good works to another, we speak of your mighty acts, God. We've got to be better, church, about sharing our stories. So let me ask you, and this may be a bit of rhetorical, but what good stories have you got of what God's done in your life? Did he provide a ram when, probably not to that extreme, but has God healed you? Has God provided for you in a place where literally the only way forward was miraculous? That's a story for us. Has God done such a work in your life that the only explanation is of him? I wonder, do any of you fall into that category? Give me a wave if you do. You don't have to tell me the story right now. But maybe you're sat here this morning thinking, yeah, it sounds good, but I don't really have any of those stories. I want to encourage you, if you've made a decision to follow Jesus and accept him as your saviour, actually, you've got the best story of all. Because provision is good and health is really important. But what Jesus did on the cross for us is the greatest story. And every one of us in this room has the opportunity to share that story with people. And I know that you just nudged Carly and said, that's you, that's you. Right. Because when we share those good news stories, people hear about the good works of God. They hear the testimonies of what God can do in our lives. And then there's a story of what God can do in their lives too. And so we've got to become better. And this is what this series is going to encourage us about. We've got to become better at sharing our stories in this room. Of not being afraid to go generation to generation, which I don't think we do. I think actually we're really good at that as a church. But we've got to become better at not just going, hey, how was your week? But here's a great story of what God's done in my life this week. Excuse me. We've got to become better at sharing those stories in this room, because if we can't do it here where everyone thinks the same, how are we going to be able to do it out there where it's really nerve-wracking to tell people, hey, God's done this, and they go, excuse me? Because when we walk out of those doors, it's really easy to go, hey, I've got a really good story of like how my health's got better. Oh, how's that happened? It just has. I've got a really exciting story about how I've been able to keep on paying my bills, which are really expensive right now. Oh, how's that happened? The government bursary? Yeah. But the truth is that we've got some really exciting stories of what God has done in our lives, right? Got some really exciting stories of that. And how are people going to, or why would people want to come to a church where we preach Jesus all the time if there's nothing good that we tell them about? Yeah. I'm preaching to myself, okay? This isn't just to you. Like, we've got to be better at sharing the good news stories of Jesus. And not just the easy bits to talk about, but the real nitty-gritty of it as well. Because there are things in our lives that we just can't explain naturally anymore. Like, many of you will know our story. I get the opportunity with my colleagues to talk about the miracle that Harry is. And now Josh, who I work with, when I'm talking to somebody else about it, goes, oh, you should hear this story. It's really good. That's cool. Because as one generation commends his works to another, we've got to be better at this. And there's another challenge in this that I think Esther might bring up next week, but just briefly, we can't just wait for the stories to come down generations, because I want to hear the good news stories from Margaret and from Mary of what happened then. But who knows that we've got good stories too? And I'm sure that Margaret and Mary will be encouraged by the stories in my life. And there are four generations between us. So don't think I can't tell you a story because you've got far better ones than me. Because sometimes we can get into that. But we've got to be willing, and we've got to be excited, and we've got to be raring and ready to go to share these stories of good things that God has done. So let me ask you this morning, what has God done in your life that is worth shouting about? What's he done in your life that is worth going to the person next to you and going, hey, you might not care about this right now, but I really need to tell you. Because you never know, they might be going through something that your story encourages them with. Maybe God's healed you and you don't know about the illness that they're currently facing, but your story is one that goes, hey, God's healed me, he can heal you too. It might be a story where you go, I just didn't see a future, I didn't know where I was going, and currently they're thinking, I'm so stuck in this job that I need to get out of, and all they need to hear is a story of somebody who said, I just took a step of faith, and look where that's brought me now. Because we as a church have this mandate that is written about in Psalm 145 that says, as one generation speaks of your works to another, We speak of his mighty acts. We will see a generation after generation after generation ready to share and to encourage each other and to raise up, to build up, to launch into the next thing. The story about these missions, like the works that God has done in people on missions, please, if you're thinking about it, come and talk to one of us who's been on a mission, because you'll hear the good news, the mighty acts that God does, has done in our lives when we've taken a step, even when it seems unreasonable sometimes, most of the time. Because as one generation commends his works to another. So I wonder again, with a wave of hands, those of you in the traditionalist, Mary and Margaret, let me encourage you. Your stories are vital to encourage us. Please come and share with us. Come and tell us the good things that God's done in your life, the things that you've seen, the things that encourage you today. Those of you that come after, think the boomers, come and tell us your stories. Share your stories. Shout about what God's done in your life. Shout about the things that you've seen that have got better in the church. Shout about the things that the church used to do that was really good that maybe we don't do anymore. And maybe, just maybe, is something that we've just forgotten about and we need to know about. For the Generation X, you're my parents' era. Thank you. We love you guys because you make a way for us to be able to do what we do today. Is it millennials next? Oh, Mum, we're so old. We're so old. Millennials. We are at the prime age to do. I didn't plan to say this. We are at peak fitness, supposedly, in our lives. Ha! Let me go back a few steps, okay? Mary and Margaret and people of your generation, your time isn't done yet. You're not done yet. God's still got stuff to do in you, through you. Please don't write off what you can do because you think, oh, my time is done. If you've still got breath in your lungs, a heartbeat and a dream, drive for it. And we, as the younger generations, I'm speaking on behalf of all of us, we'll cheer you on, we'll carry you through if you need us to, literally put you on our backs. I'll carry you to another nation if you want to go, because God's still going to use you. Oh, man. Traditionalists. No, next generation. Boomers. Don't stop supporting. Because I think it's really easy to look at the way that we do things now and go, oh, I wouldn't do it like that. Didn't do it like that in my day. Maybe that's a really negative way of looking at this. But rather than being the naysayer, be the one that cheers on. Be the ones that are like the biggest cheerleaders of all. Get your pom-poms out. Maybe you can't do that anymore because your bones don't quite work. In all seriousness, be the loudest voice in the room, cheering the younger generations on. Call us out. Tell us if we're not doing enough because you can see more in us. Please. Keep on calling us forward. Don't stop. Keep on speaking up, being loud, telling us. I've already said thank you to my parents' generation. But apparently you guys have got all the money, so... You haven't got all the money because you keep on giving it to your grandkids. Millennials, we've got to work. Yeah. And it's hard, right? It's hard because our time's taken. We're working full time. Got kids coming. Life's getting busier and busier. The world's getting harder and harder. Bills to pay. Crazy stuff happening in the world. And we're looking at it going, how can we bring kids into this? But it's not about bringing them into it, it's about helping them see the goodness in this world. So we've got a responsibility to build the church because we've got the energy. But we've also got a responsibility for the kids that we're bringing to make sure that we're telling them of the good works of Jesus, because otherwise they're going to just get pounded by the stuff on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and all the new stuff that just says this world is rubbish. Hey, we know better because we know Jesus. So we've got to be louder than the news, okay? And we've got to keep on working. And you Gen Zers, you can look at us and think we're old, and we are. But as a church, we will push you to be better. We'll push you to be bigger. We'll push you to follow after what God's called you to. And both of you this morning, okay? God's got massive plans for both of you. All you've got to do is listen and say yes. And when you say yes, it'll be hard. Let me change that. If you say yes, it'll be really hard. If you say no, it's going to be hard too. So it's just like, do you want the good at the end of it, or do you just want to feel like, yeah, okay. But if you say yes to Jesus, it'll be the best journey you ever go on. You'll have stories coming out of your ears to tell the next generation. And if you don't believe me, come and talk to any of us and we'll tell you at least one good story of what Jesus has done in our lives. Is that okay for everyone to say yes, you'll do that? But we will cheer you on every step of the way. And then we've got the youngest generation in the room. I know Harry is technically a Gen Z, but he's so small. He's so small, there's no way. Come on, church, let's raise up a generation that only knows of the good works of God, right? And we've made a commitment that Harry and our next baby will be a part of the work that we do with God. Hey, parents in the room, like, let's do this together, okay? At 2 o'clock in the morning when our kids are screaming at us, we can call each other. Although currently Harry's sleeping, so please don't call us at 2 o'clock in the morning. Give it 3 weeks and we'll be awake with you. But we will stand together to raise these kids. And that's what a dedication is, right? So as a church, we dedicate our kids and we say that we will raise them. Please join with us as we raise these kids, making sure that they know of the good works of God. Share your story, share your story, share your story. Because as one generation tells of his works to the next, as we tell of his mighty acts, imagine what this church will look like. And as we grow, more people hear these stories of good news. And it doesn't just stop at people who are there, their generation, but they hear generations above calling it out, and they hear generations below talking of the good things, because that's what we as a church are going to do. Is that all right? Yeah. Hey, if you're willing to stand with me and say, yes, I'm part of this, would you literally stand with me this morning? I just want to pray over us as I finish up. So it's a call to arms that we're going to do this together. But at the end of this morning, why not find somebody and just tell of one thing that God's done in your life?